Those that are logged on tonight, and this is actually one of our first question and answer nights, which I'm pretty excited about. Normally I would speak a message on something Wednesday nights, but I really just feel strong in my heart that we've laid a pretty good foundation for a lot of people, and there are thousands of people listening on the website, and I know that there are tons and tons of questions because this ministry is not a religious ministry. I would say it's a relationship. It's a spiritual ministry to have a relationship with our Creator, the one who created the heavens and the earth and put the stars in the heavens and the whole nine yards. And it really has nothing to do with religion, but it has everything to do with life. Now, when we do speak, we do use religious terms. And we do refer to the New King James Bible, and we do reference some chapters and verses because this book, the Bible, is the only book that I was able to really bear witness with what happened in my life when my life was transferred and changed. So I'm a big believer in that book. And I find that book is true. I can't tell you about the other ones, but I will say that the Holy Bible is a true book. We were talking earlier about how that book was originated, and it was back when the canons were together, and then they translated it and took a lot of the scrolls and left a lot of scrolls out, which I would say why this ministry is where it is and the birth of it is because of my life being changed. It was given the secret mysteries. I call it the ancient secrets and the mysteries. And I'm very grateful in my heart to be able to share and give this out. Now, I was sharing with Sam earlier that God has done something unique with me in the sense that I don't care anymore if anybody listens to me or not, because he's the one who opens up the ears and allows you to hear. And if we can really understand our Father, and I say our Father, God, our Creator, then we can understand why we're even here and the purpose of why we're here. Most of us are carnally minded. And how many understand what a carnal mind is? Good. A carnal mind, just to refer or to refresh some of us, is our thoughts are always meditating on the things in the earthly realm now. Your job, your family, how you're going to make this work, how you're going to be able to get this, how you're going to be able to do that. And I guess the cares of the world you're focusing and paying attention to more than a spiritual mind. And how many of us understand what a spiritual mind is? A spiritual mind is one who doesn't really care about the things of this world and how to maintain anything, actually. More of a mind that knows that there's a Creator that created us and has given us a life, and this life is real, and this life is meant for us to have, and that we are on a mission or a journey to find this life. And most of us have a desire to be spiritually minded because they're looking for a life. How many people are really like looking for a life, knowing in their heart that there's something more, something better than just where we're at, what we're doing? So if that's you, I would say that you are spiritually minded because you're seeking, but you just don't know how to seek and go around about seeking. And I'm here to show you the way. A word was given to me earlier this afternoon when I have several people that I'll be ministering to that I don't normally come to this ministry. And the Lord gave me a word and referred me to as a spiritual guide. Now, most people would say, ooh, that's kind of like, you know, what would you call a spiritual guide? That's like trying to look for the word. They get weird, you know, like astrology and, you know, all that other stuff, you know. But the truth is, that's pretty much what I am, a spiritual guide, because I'm not here to tell you anything that you don't know already. There is a divine nature that's inside of you, and that divine nature has all truth. The question is can you hear it? And the other question is, do you believe it? And then the other question is, can you follow it? And someone like myself comes and just bears witness with what's inside of you. And I guide you along your journey. I guide you along your life to get you to find your life, to get you to find what you're really looking for, to get you to find love and peace and righteousness. And that's what we're really looking for. How many of us are like, I don't know, lost and empty, if anyone ever knows what that feels like? And most of us probably would be like, yeah, that's me, you know, if you're honest with yourself. And this is one of the things that is difficult to most people who are carnally minded. They can't tend to be honest with themselves. But what brings out honesty is when they reach that place of being sick and tired of being sick and tired. And when they have exerted all their efforts and all their strengths, then they begin to really become a seeker. That's when they really become one to lay things down and change the way they're thinking. And the message 2,000 years ago was the message that was given to Jesus and John the Baptist and others for us to be able to find this life and to find the kingdom of God. And the words that were said was, change the way you're thinking. Repent, repent, repent. Now, most of us, even today, take that word repent and they translate it as, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. But that's not true. There's no reason for any of us to say sorry about anything. What we should really be focusing on is not the guilt and the shame of making mistakes, but what we should really focus on in the sense of repent is just changing the way we're thinking right now. Our thought pattern is just off. We were born, quote, in sin. But I shared a message last Sunday, and I hope those that are listening would be able to go back and log on to that message, where there is no sin. Sin doesn't exist. Temptation and thought exist. And when you receive those thoughts and you begin to conceive it, it develops and creates a birth. And that birth becomes sin. And that's how sin is actually created. We were never born in sin. And I'm sharing this because we're bound with the way we're thinking. And I got to change the way we're thinking in order for any of us to have a life. We don't have one. And we're lost. We're thirsty. We don't know what's happening. We're uneasy. And we don't realize it, but most of us are possessed. Now, that's a strong word, isn't it? Possessed. Kind of scary, like, I'm possessed. But you have thoughts, temptations that you have given birth to, and it's living inside of you, and it's called sin. And we got to get that out. How many people are following me right here? Okay? It's not that you're a bad person. None of us are bad. None of us are good either. We got to change the way we're thinking and become delivered. We basically need deliverance. It's like this. You're doing the same thing every day, but you're accepting different results. Isn't that like the definition of insanity? Okay. So if you're looking for results, but yet you're doing the same thing every day, don't you think that if you're doing the same thing every day, it's going to continue to give you the same results? You need a change. You need a change. And I'm here to be that guide to give you that change. Now, there's a foundation of truth, which all of us need. But then there's a thing called personal ministry. That's where one-on-one comes in at. And that's when you begin to refine and build on your foundation. But without a foundation, it's really hard to even think about ministry. It's even hard. It's very, very difficult to minister to somebody if they have no foundation. Because you're trying to bring them into a spiritual way of life, but they're fully carnal. It's just pure carnal. And so you need to break that carnality thought down and begin to bring them into a place of spirit. And spirit isn't just like religion. Spirit is not religion. You can be all types of religion. There's thousands of different denominations and everything else like that. But it's not spirit. Spirit is life. And life is individual. Your life is different than my life. And my life's different than their life. And this life's different than that life. And there's a creator, a spiritual being that created life. And that's considered our Father, our Heavenly Father. And it's called God. And we use that term here, God. The world is going towards creator or the creator of the universe, wherever they want to go. But I'm going to still refer it as God. But God the Father has given us a life. And he also gave us commandments. Now those commandments aren't good, bad, right, and wrong commandments. Those commandments is like the still small voice that's written on your heart. And that's what I want to bring out in each and every one. That's the life that I'm looking for you. Because if you don't understand what's inside of you, you're lost. If you don't understand your passions and your desires, you're lost. If you don't understand what you love, you're lost. Now, you might say you understand and you know. I'm going to tell you, you're a liar. You don't know. And the reason why you don't know is because you're so bound and oppressed by lies. You've been deceived all your life to think that you like this, to feel like you need to feel like this, or this is it. Has anyone ever reached a point in their life that they said there's got to be something different? Well, then I'm going to just say that that's God knocking on your door. You're considered a chosen one at that moment. Not all are chosen. Not all are called. Okay, and I want people to really understand that, because there are different chapters and verses in your life. And God sometimes tends to let you live in the world so that you come to a place which I call humility. And he allows life to beat you up a little bit and to get you to a place to listen more so that your heart is opened and your ears are able to hear. And God knows when you're able to do that. He knows you better than we even know ourselves. And so that's why I'm more patient with individuals than I was before, because I would just say, you know what, they're just not ready yet. I'll see you probably in about 5 more years, but I know I'll see you again. I know I will see you again, just not right now. There has been some people that came into my life, and they just weren't ready. they came in only because of maybe a referral of somebody else, or, hey, you got to meet, look, this guy changed my life, come on. You know, and I look at them and I say, all right, I'll see you in about 3 more years. I'll see you in another 10 more years. I might not see you at all. And it's because only God can open up our ears, and only God can open up our eyes, and only God can change our hearts. And there's a thing called will. We have a strong will. And that will has been given to us. And God is not going to play with your will. He's not going to play with your will. How many people understand what I'm talking about? Okay? God is a loving God, and He only hears our cry. That's it. As soon as we break down and cry, I say when you get sick and tired of being sick and tired, when it's just the pressures of this world have just crunched you, and there's like no more life left, and you're like on your lifeline screaming, please help. That's when God comes and answers. But as soon as He hears that heart cry, boom, I mean, He just comes right in, and He heals, delivers, and frees you, and brings you to that, I call, sacred place, the kingdom. And that's what He done in my life. I look back, and I can honestly say I was at that point in my life where I just surrendered everything, and you know, it just took over. God just took over my life. And I also believe there's a purpose. Not everyone is called to do what I'm doing here, I guess. But at that same time, you have a purpose in the world, too, that God has for you. And He wants you to fulfill that purpose and that destiny in the world so that you can continue to glorify His name. See, I share with people that when God touches you and changes your life, you can only glorify His name. There's no other way. Every word that comes out of your mouth is going to give God glory. You can't even hold it back. So, I got tonight is a question and answers, and I hope that some of us have some questions. And if you don't have any questions here, and you might have some later, bring them next week so that we can speak on them. If anything I said in the beginning of this message sparked up a question, please feel free to ask. But I did get a text or an email from someone who is dear to my heart, actually. And her name is Christina Stanchek. And if you're listening, Christina, I love you. And she said to me, I have a question. How does one identify temptation in one's life? And how can one overcome temptation? And when I said that, when I read that, I said, wow, it's a very good question. And I want to talk about temptation and how to overcome temptation, because this is the beginning of life. But we need to understand what temptation is first. Okay? Temptation is everything that exalts itself over the knowledge of God. Okay? Now, what is the knowledge of God? It's your inner being of who you are. Your heart, your passion, your desires, your love, your wants, your needs. Now, not all of us understand what that is because we're lost. So if I asked you, so what's your passions? What's your desires? What do you want? And 99.9 of the times they're like, I don't know. That's why I'm here. But you do know. That's where ministry comes in at, so that we can get down to the root. But the reason why you really don't know is because we're living in sin. Now, how did we get to sin? Well, we indulged into temptation. Temptation exalts itself over the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God is the law written on your heart. I'm going to try to make this as simple as I can. So, what's not written on your heart comes into your head. And it usually is caused by generations, sick parents, sick friends, situations that could have happened in your life, like trauma. Could have happened in family matters, deaths, accidents, all those things. They come in. It's called temptation. Now, everybody thinks that temptation might be, you know, like lust, you know? Ooh, sex. I can't look. I'm falling into temptation. Or spending money, because you might not have any money, and ooh, that looks really good, and I think I'm going to fall into temptation, and maybe I'll gamble. Oh, temptation, gambling. Or drugs, or cigarettes, or alcohol, or whatever. That's far from temptation. Temptation comes in small. It comes in like this. Oh, it'll never work. Temptation comes in as, oh, you're not really pretty. Oh, you don't have a job. You don't have an education. You can't do that. It comes in as a small, still voice into your head. All these lies begin to start coming in. That's called temptation. Because the truth goes against temptation. Here's an example. And this is why I like the Bible. Jesus, and I know most of us here might know this story. Did he not go into the desert to be tempted by the devil? Okay. And he overcame, right? He overcame all the temptation. How did he overcome? By bringing truth. You know, the devil's like, you know, oh, I'll give you all this if you bow down and worship me. And then he's, you know, he comes back and says, no, you should only worship God and only God and da, 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 whatever. And then there's some other temptations that he said, and he always came back with truth. If you know truth, truth will set you free. Truth will set you free from temptation. Truth will set you free from sin and death. Temptation comes into your mind in that still small voice that we end up encamping with, okay? And it goes down, and we actually conceive it, okay? There's a scripture verse, and that's why I say, see if you can get on last week's message, because you'll hear some of the verses and things that I use. But what happens is, temptation, we receive it, we actually conceive it and bring birth. So let's say, if I could say it in a more of a physical way, temptation comes in like male sperm. And it comes in and swims up to us, and then we're like the uterus. And we take this egg that came in, or the sperm that filtered. Someone help me with some birthing over here. But it comes in and fertilizes the egg. It's like we're the egg, the innocent egg. And this temptation fertilizes it and creates. It births sin and creates it and becomes sin. Then it grows and lives with us. It's like we got a bunch of babies. I got a whole house full of babies. That's where we become possessed. So what happens is we grow up with these, and they become our best friends, and we get possessed by these things, and they alter our thinking, because the creation of sin, and when you entertain it and you birth it, it leads to death. There's only one way. It leads to death. And so let's say you have a bunch of friends that you choose to hang out, and they become bad friends. It's just trouble. Aren't you eventually going to get into trouble? Or are you going to be the only shining light out there that's not going to, like, submit to your friends and their peer pressures? Right? Think about it. You're going to subject yourself, maybe even to the point where you believe in them so much, you defend them. No way. I know I'm supposed to do this, and I know I got to do that, and I know. And they just constantly lead you down the road of destruction. Here's a perfect example. I'm going to pick on the ladies. I love picking on the ladies. Has anyone ever tend to, well, you know what? I'll pick on the guys too, because it's really, they both go together. Has anyone ever got them stuck in a hole, so to say, where everyone they meet seems to turn out to be like a creep? Right? Okay, we can all relate to that, right? In the beginning, we think it's great. Love of our lives. Has anyone ever ended up marrying their mother or their father? In the sense of character? Oh, you married your mother. Look at that. Oh, you married your father. Look at that. That's called generational sin, generational curse. We tend to take on these lies, and these lies alter the way we see things. And we're attracted to death. We're attracted to what we don't want. Isn't that crazy? And we end up getting stuck with what we don't want all the time. How come I'm always getting stuck with the ones I don't want? It's because we've never really been delivered. We never really got free from things from the past. And it's not our fault. It's not our fault at all. We all mean well. But we're influenced. We're influenced. Paul said something in Scripture. He says, why do I keep doing the things that I don't want to do? Why? Why do I keep doing it? And Paul says it's because of sin that dwells within inside of me. Now, Paul wasn't a bad guy. He was a good guy in the sense of person-wise. But what he received growing up, what he is receiving even today, because if we're not careful and don't understand the way, we're always falling short of God's glory. And that glory is what's on our heart. We're always falling short, and we're always falling into sin. This is why, you know, old-time doctrine and religion was, you know, you got to go to Calvary all the time, and you got to go say you're sorry all the time, and they were just trying to beat you up to get you to kind of, like, think, I guess. I have no reason other than feeling bad about everything. But what God really wants us to do is just change the way we're thinking and understand life and be directed to find this life. Now, God's love for us will find us this life. He will help us resist temptation. And if you resist it enough, it will flee. So when you find that lover of your life, and you know your last past lovers were just nightmares, resist them. Just keep resisting them, and eventually they'll flee out of there, and you'll be actually set free. And then the real one will come around. And it's true. It's really, really true about how these things work. I've seen sin literally create destruction in people's lives. They never come out of poverty. They never come out of, you know, physical ailments. They never come out of mental ailments. But yet then I saw people being delivered from temptation, being delivered from sin, where they become whole and they come out of poverty and they come out of, bad relationships, and they finally do end up with good relationships and marriages restored and stuff like that. And it's all because of understanding the truth. And so if I had to say anything about answering Christina's question, I would say that temptation is, before it becomes sin, is a voice of worry. It's a voice of fear. It's a voice of not trusting God. It's a voice of not having any faith. It's not a. It's a voice of believing that you're all alone. It infiltrates you. I say it rapes you. And why I say that is because it takes you from your own free will, in a sense, because you don't want it. You really don't want it. Nobody wants to have that sin in them, because nobody wants to live the life of being lost and destroyed and all that. Everybody wants to be free. Once they understand what I'm trying to say, you would say, yes, I do not want the life of sin. I do not want it, because it just brings everything I don't want into my life. And when you find the life, you have nothing but rejoicing, because it brings everything you do really want in your life. And that's why I try to help people remove the sin out of their life. Not saying sorry all the time. I don't want to hear you sorry. I don't want to hear sorry ever come out of your mouth. I want to see fruit of you willing to change the way you're thinking. Because, you know, there's a verse, and it was a perfect example with John the Baptist. And John the Baptist was baptizing people, and, you know, they were all flocking in there. And some of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, who thought they already were in a good place, they thought they were, you know, pure and holy, I guess you can say, and have a life. But they were deceived too, and that's a long story. But they came to get baptized, and John the Baptist basically said, "Get away from me, you brood of vipers, you know. Show fruits worthy of repentance." It's like, don't come to me and just, you know, think that you're going to say you're sorry for some of these carnal ways of thoughts that you might have had, or some of those little dirty deeds you did behind closed doors or what have you. No, no. This is something deeper than that. This is life-changing. This isn't like, oh, I'm sorry I looked at porn last night. No, this is life-changing. Where you don't would never desire that ever, because sin came out. I'm sorry I fornicated on my wife. I'm sorry I cheated. I'm sorry. No, because the desire, because you gave birth of temptation, no longer exists. So you get that sin out of you. You delivered. You're changed the way you're thinking. You'll never have those urges or desires ever, ever again. How many people are beginning to follow a little bit? It's important to understand temptation. It's important to understand that we are constantly attacked by temptations every day. And I'm going to just give you one little example. How many of us gave thought to anything and worried for a moment? And you couldn't even shake it, could you? It kind of haunted you for a little bit. How many of us tend to put us in a position of getting upset because you might not have been able to accomplish everything you wanted to do today? That's temptation right there too, which could develop into sin. Because God says, don't be anxious for nothing. See, there's a lot of truth that will battle against temptation. God really wants us to be like the wind and not really have anything bother us at all. And if anything does happen, not to get upset, but to be able to just say, Lord, if it's your will, okay. You know what I need to do. You know when I got to go. You know what I want. You know. See, we don't know anything. Really, if you think about it, we don't know nothing. But we do know we want the life. And so if we can yield ourselves down, yield this to the truth, we actually resist temptation. Now, temptation, you know, that's little. That's the little stuff. The thing that scares me is sin. And you know what really scares me? How long that sin's been living there. To the point where it becomes a possession. And it steals your identity. Has anyone ever believed something about yourself and everybody else tells you differently? And you think that they're just being nice, but they're really being honest with you, and you don't believe it. How many of you ever felt that way before? Well, that in itself is a possession. How long have you been living with that one? And that one in itself, man, that took care of the master of the house. That's the strong man. And they're the ones that are really the ones that I'm more concerned about than temptation. Temptation's like a feather to me. It'll be all right. Resist it. You'll be cool. But the ones that we have taken in and we held on to them and they became really, really good friends. And then they're like our buddies to the point where we really believe it's us. How about this one? Has anyone ever said, well, that's how I am? Has anyone ever made that comment before? When, you know, hey, you tend to lose your toe. Well, that's just the way I am. Maybe you should. Well, that's just the way I am. That's not the way you are. It's not the way you are. That in itself is a possession of sin that took deep root. And 99.9%, those that are trying to find a life have deep roots. And those deep roots tend to really hurt us, tend to keep us from fulfilling what we really want. And what I mean by this is there might be some chapters in your life where you get sick and tired. Let's say, I like using relationships because we can always carnally refer to them easy. But let's say, you know, you reached that point of sin in your life, you kept marrying your mom or you kept marrying your dad or you kept getting into relationships with the one that you just do not want. It turns out to be the creep. And you reach a point in your life where you're just sick and tired of being sick and tired of that area. And you resist. You come to a place of changing the way you're thinking. And you say to yourself, I'm not going to be so quick next time. I'm going to wait it out a little longer. I'm going to try to let see how things unfold. I'm going to just hold out. I'm not going to be so anxious for anything. I'm not in a hurry. And you say this in your heart. You know, God sees that. And you resist, it flees. And then you can actually pat yourself on the back and say, I knew it, because they're no longer there. They left. Woo! And then we're actually seeking God, if you know it or not, by resisting temptation. You don't know the will of God, and you don't know God at all. But God has a unique way of knowing you. And when you begin to exercise this truth, He's faithful to reward those who diligently seek Him. And when you diligently seek Him, He rewards you and brings you the desire of your heart in that area. It's the most beautiful thing. I've already used this truth in ministering to other people who have been longing to find their Mrs. Right or Mr. Right. And when they listened to what I had to say, and they were patient enough to believe, spiritually speaking, God blessed them and brought what they've been looking for. Now we have to learn how to resist the devil. This is the only way that I can lay it, or resist temptation and resist those negative thoughts. I'm going to lay it out and try to bring it so secular so that you will understand. How many of us understand negative thoughts? Well, they kind of hold a lot of root to sin. And that's why I love, you know, those individuals that, you know, have positive thinking. But if you don't have any real truth, that positive thinking is going to rot you from the inside out because you don't understand and you can't handle what's going on and you're just getting rotten. But to know and understand positive thinking is really what you really need to focus on. And if you have a desire in your heart, let's say to have a child, but yet there's sin lived in your life, and you believe the lie as if you're not capable of having children, or, you know, whatever the lie was, you entertained it, and it's robbing you from having it. It's robbing you from having it. But if you can begin to change the way you're thinking and resist those thoughts and become positive thinking, but knowing the truth, and the truth is, no, that's really what I want. That's my desire. And not be anxious for anything, because we can move ahead of God. God then eventually blesses us. He eventually heals us. He eventually delivers us. He eventually sets us free. And so I hope, if Christina's listening, I hope I made it clear as far as temptation and understand temptation and how temptation turns into sin and how sin actually turns into individual spirits that possess you and cause you to think a certain way and causes you to be a certain way and causes your inners, your outwards, everything to rot. If you can resist it by changing the way you're thinking, because you didn't do anything wrong, nobody has done anything wrong, it's just you were a victim. That's why I call temptation like a form of rape, because you were a victim. You were innocent and then you got raped. You got raped by the things of the world. And they planted seed and you got impregnated, and then now you have lots of babies that grew up to be lots of big people in your house. And those big people are just destroying your whole home. They're destroying your life. And they got to go out of your house. They got to get kicked out. They got to come out. All those got to come out so that you can have a good life. Now, there are many ways of kicking out these things. And I am not old-fashioned. So you will never hear me say, "Devil, come out of that person now." I'm not like that. I'm like God. You know what he does? He's patient. And he gives you the choice of changing the way you're thinking and really embrace and seek him with all your heart and cry out for that desire that's inside of you. And when you cry out, he delivers you. I've watched people being delivered right there in their seat just because they heard this message. I've seen people's lives change like that, and the next day, they're already giving me testimony about how God started bringing blessings in their life. It's amazing how much power you have. It's amazing how much you have inside of you. And you can change your whole world. If you don't believe me and you're going, nah, you don't understand, guess what? You're already defeated. Might as well just go and end it. Because that's where we'll end up anyhow. We'll lead a destructive life. My heart cries out when I see people suffer. And their suffering is only because they don't understand. They don't have the knowledge. And I believe this is why I'm here today. This is why my life has changed for this very purpose. To be a voice. To give the knowledge to destroy the works of this darkness. To destroy the works that is destroying your life. So that you can have a life. There's no other reason. But to give you a life. There's no other reason. I don't ask for nothing. I don't want nothing. Other than like some support. But that's another story. Because I got to have the electric lights on. But outside of that, honestly, I don't want nothing. I just want to see you have a life. Now, I know that people's lives are already changing. One thing I will say is when your life begins to change, don't hold it in until you're safe. If there's a testimony reaching you in the next couple of weeks, rejoice. Start sharing with others so that there's another truth that comes in that you don't even know about. When one mourns, we all mourn. When one rejoices, we all rejoice. How many have heard the saying that one puts 1,000 to flight, two puts 10,000 to flight, and so forth and so forth? Well, if you're going to hold in all your rejoicing, if you're going to keep it all to yourself and you're not going to share about all these wonderful things that are going on in your life, guess what? You're forgetting about darkness that's still crouching, looking to destroy and take away your blessing. So you need what you call intercession. You need to be able to tell others to say, hey, look, there's a possibility that within a couple of weeks, woo, I got a blessing, or I got a date coming up, or hey, look, I got this happening, or I got that happening. Share your good blessings. Even if you're afraid that they don't come to pass, don't be afraid. Because fear is already starting to tempt you. You see how that works? You see how that begins to work? See how sin begins to start to work? Because you don't share it, all of a sudden you're afraid. Well, it might not come to pass. Has anybody ever been like that before? You just don't share something good because you're afraid it might not happen? Well, guess what? Temptation is starting to birth another seed of sin to only destroy your blessing. And to rob others who love you, who will put a hope in their heart to begin to pray. Oh man, I hope that she gets that. I hope that that works out for them. Now you just started a chain of intercession. And then it works the opposite. If things are not good in your life, you know, you need people to pray in a sense of, you know, I'd like to see that not happen. And then maybe some positive thoughts will come in and help negative thoughts, tear down those negative thoughts, where a bit of hope might come out of somebody's mouth and say, you know, don't think that way. You know, everything's going to be all right, and help you change the way you're thinking. See, we all need support is what I'm trying to say. We all need support. So don't put yourself in an isolated place and not share your blessings and not share your disappointments. We need this intercession to come against temptation. We need one another to help build and edify each other up in areas that we may not understand everything. But I do. Share everything with me, please, so that I have a direct ticket to the throne room. And when people don't share and I still see, I kind of go, because I know that there's an open door to be destroyed. It's a sad thing. And then I sit there and I have to watch it happen when we could have avoided all these things. Well, moving forward, does anyone have any questions on sin or temptation or anything that may come to their mind? This is the best part. I had a question, but I think you might have answered it, or I forgot. But it's okay, because I think we're about running out of time. Or Jim, you got a question. How much more time do we have? We're over. What's new? All right, well, with that being said, continue to log on to our website. Continue to understand these mysteries and these ancient secrets, I call them, so that our minds can be renewed. It's not religion. If you're here to look for religion, you know, you're not going to find it here. But if you're here to find a life, you're going to find it here. And if you want your life fulfilled, you want to be happy, you want to have some peace, you want some joy, you want to be restored, you'll find it here. You really will. And if you're sick and tired of living a life that's just not going the way you want, listen to these messages and they will change your life. Religion, I say, literally puts you in a bondage that causes you to be and do something that you really don't want. And again, you're deceived and you're lied to because darkness doesn't want you to be free. And then they'll fool you by you being a good person. And then you'll do the religious works. And then you'll put your righteous cloak of righteousness on. And then you'll walk around with false humility and say, oh, well, everything's wonderful. Praise God. When your whole life is rotten and it's falling apart. Here, you can be honest. You have every right to feel that your life is rotten and falling apart. And you're not going to be condemned about it. Matter of fact, it's going to open up a door for you to be healed and delivered and changed. But I don't believe in the deceiver. And the deceiver has been deceiving people for many, many years. And the sad thing about it is they cover it with religion. I thank God that there are clinics and self-help groups and yada, 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 because they help a little bit, but they just don't have any truth to a spiritual place of really understanding how to be set free. And also, the only way that we can be delivered and set free is if we have a relationship with God. And that's the most important root of true healing. When my life was changed, the last words that I heard was, go back and tell them about my Father. And God is the only one, our Creator, that can deliver us and set us free, because He created us with His life in us. What we need to do is find that life that He gave us, because that life that He gave us brings us the unspeakable joy and the unspeakable peace and the unspeakable righteousness that we can't comprehend or imagine. When that life we find, we know everything's going to be okay. We're just comforted in a way that it's like sitting in the shadows of His wings. There's no weapon, nothing can hurt you. You just know that everything is okay. I take myself as an example, and this is really all I have, myself. I have no fear. I'm not worried about my health. I don't care about when I leave this earth. I'm not afraid of death. I don't know what else to tell you, but I live a life of freedom, even though that I probably got more problems than any of you. I got the world falling on the back of my shoulders, but you know what? I'm not carrying them like you are. I got somebody that's a power beyond carrying all my burdens. And it's allowing me to live free. It's allowing me to have a life that's so full of joy and so full of peace, and I feel righteousness in my heart. You can't tell me what I'm doing wrong. I'm not doing anything wrong. Even if you think my man buns are wrong, I got two of them too, you see? It don't matter because I feel good. And with that being said, if we could just have every head bowed for a moment, I'm a big believer in prayer. And I know God answers my prayers. And if you could pray with me, because He knows that you're not here by accident, and He knows that those that are listening are definitely not listening by accident. And so, I want you to make a request. And I want you to make a good one. Because there's an open heaven right now. He's opening heaven, and His ear is stretched down, listening to you right now. And it's almost like God's saying, test me. Put that fleece and ask something. Let it rain around it, and I'll show you a miracle. And test me again. And I'll rain right on it and leave all around it dry to show you another miracle. Because I'm calling you by name. God has a love for you that is so deep. He knows that you've been struggling. He knows you've been fighting. But one thing He does know, is that you did your best. You really tried hard. And you really meant well. And it's nothing that you did wrong. And that's why He's here now. To show you. If you want to hear that He forgives you, and that will reinforce your heart, well, then God is saying that I forgive you, but He wants to say to you that you didn't do anything wrong. And He wants to give you your heart's desire. And He wants to do it fast, because He knows that you've been waiting a long time. Your heart has reached the throne room, and He's saying, I heard it. Your desires and your requests didn't go void. It's almost as if He wants to say, sorry, I didn't react faster. But He says that there are things happening that you just can't see. There are wars that are over your life that I had to conquer and I had to win. There were things that I had to battle and destroy over your life to bring you to this place now. To fill your heart and give you your request that you've been asking for a long time. Know this, that I was there for you and I never left you. And Lord, the Lord is saying, thank you for being patient with me. Thank you for not giving up and giving me a second chance. Thank you. So, Father, I ask, Lord, that you heard their request. And I say this all the time. I'm not going unless you don't go there with me. And as you were faithful to those in the past, Lord, I know you'll be faithful with me. Grant them their desires. Take the worry out of their heart. Let them know that everything's going to be okay. I'm hearing in about 2 weeks, you're going to begin to see changes. Accept the changes. Know that it's the will of God moving in your life. Don't question. The Lord is saying that the wind is going to start blowing, and it's blowing now. He's setting things in place. Go with the way the wind is blowing. Don't resist. Put yourself in that place and go with the flow. If I had to make it easy, just say yes. Just say yes with everything. Just begin to say yes. Even if you don't feel like it, even if you're tired, even if you had a hard day, even if you had a long day, even if it's early, whatever it is, just say yes. Because God is saying that I am going to open up doors that go against what you think. And the first opportunity, because of sin dwelling inside of you, is going to say no. But the Lord is saying right now, I already know your enemy. And I'm going to do things that is going to make it easy for you to resist so it will flee. And it's yes. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. And I'm going to call, if he can. I can't call Sam up. He's a mess. Can you talk? Okay, come on up. Sam's going to close us. And I got some prayer cloths here if anyone knows somebody or they want some for themselves. All right?
Amen. Just real quick, just to break down desire real quick, a little bit more. Pastor was, everything he said was just crushing me, but, you know, desire, when it's fully matured, gives birth to lust. Lust, when it's fully matured, gives birth to sin. See, desires are good, but God wants us to have desires and just say, you know what? I'd love to have that new house. I'd love to have that new car. I'd love to have that new job, but not my will. Your will be done, Father. If it's your will, let it come. If it's not your will, take it away. That's the heart he wants. But see, desire, when we entertain it and when it matures by sitting there and just not doing anything with it. See, there are no good or bad desires. There's just desires. There's no good or bad desires. There's just desires. And God's trying to teach us to take those desires and just always say, you know, I want this. I'd like to have this. But if it's your will, let it be done. That's where you find peace. That's where you find joy. See, when desire becomes lust, then those voices start coming in. Oh, I got to have it. Lust is, I got to have it. Lust will pull you and draw you and rip you and rip you in that direction. That's lust. And desire, when it's fully matured and not taken care of and not put where it belongs, fully matured becomes lust. And lust is where those voices come in. and start lying to you and telling you you got to have it or you're not going to be able to live. You can't breathe. And lust, when it's not taken care of, fully matured, becomes sin. And that's how it works. Desires, if we don't put them in the right area, always saying, Lord, let your will be done. I'd love to have this new thing. I'd love to have a new house. I'd love to, if it be your will. But nevertheless, not my will, your will be done. See, God's trying to bring us to a relationship where we're so in love with him, where we have so much peace, so much joy by the truth that we're getting in here. There's so much truth about God's love. See, I used to come to pastor and argue with him because I thought I knew the truth. I thought I had revelation from Scripture. But he would always say, brother, whose definition brings more love, mine or yours? And it was always his. It always brought a place of freedom in me. So Sunday, 10 o'clock is worship. 11 o'clock is service. Please come out. Log on to glorytothenations.com. And guys, have a great week. .org. And we have prayer clause. So come on up. Sarah, want to give them out? Amen.